until the Streamathon.
Yes.
Our fourth Streamathon. I really love these things. I know everybody hates being up for 24 straight hours, and everybody kind of wants to stab me in the eyes at the end of it, but I think it's great. I love talking to people. I love chatting. I love crazy stunts. I'm just that kind of guy. So this Friday, noon to noon, October 11th to October 12th, the friends and family of Ask an Atheist will be hanging out. I don't know how I put that. Anyway, but we're going to be on a Google Hangout. It's going to be another 24-hour streamathon to raise money, this time specifically for us, for Ask an Atheist, for the season you're listening to now, and hopefully next season. It should be a great time.
Yeah, we've done this before, and again, it costs money to be on the air. And yeah, thankfully, there are a lot of folks that are willing to help us out with this.
Absolutely. I'd like to talk about the large list of people who have met Peggy's challenge this week, and I'm not kidding when I say large list. Jerry from Seattle, Wendy from Auburn, Josh from Lakewood, Colorado, Josh from Belcamp, Maryland, Chris from Lowell, Massachusetts, Richard from Chesapeake, Virginia, John from Oak Hill, Virginia, Rune from Denmark, Mark from Victoria, Australia, Jeffrey from Seattle, and Randy from Hendersonville, North Carolina, who writes, "Keep up the excellent work. Although in Western North Carolina, where atheists are mostly invisible, we have children we'll be visiting in the Pacific Northwest this month and hope to drive up to Tacoma one Sunday and say hello." I'm really looking forward to that, Randy. It should be a great time. All of those people have helped keep the lights on here at Ask an Atheist. Thank you guys very much. It's all money we receive goes directly towards production of the show. We don't really have, we at this point are funding our own overhead and stuff like that, what overhead there is. So every dollar you give us turns into airtime.
Absolutely. And remember, it costs about $3 a minute for us to be on the air.
Yeah.
And there aren't a lot of atheist voices represented in media nowadays. I think there's us, maybe one other radio station up in Island County.
Yeah.
There's not a lot out there, but you know what there is? There's a lot of the opposition, and a lot of the opposition says stuff about us. And this show gives us the opportunity to set the record straight and let us speak for ourselves.
Are you talking about secular radio right there? Or is that the one you were talking about?
Yes, secular radio up in Vashon.
They do a really good job, but it is an internet radio station they're on.
Oh.
They used to have an LPFM license, but they couldn't. There was some weirdness going on.
Because it costs money to keep
stuff
going.
And I'm really surprised that we're coming up on, you know, 4 years on the air, and I'm really surprised that we lasted this long, but I want to keep this going because we're making some great strides. The atheism community is really interesting and really wonderful, and there is so much more we could show, and there's so much more we could do, and I'm really looking forward to it. This has been a very weird, there's been a lot of news happening since we went on tour, and there's been some news that we really absolutely have to cover. This comes from last week. We were hoping to cover this last week, but we had to skip it for time constraints. And get ready for a little bit of rage. A chiropractor breaks an infant's neck during treatment. After a four-month-old experienced a broken neck at the hands of a chiropractor, Melbourne pediatrician Chris Pappas treated the child for torticollis, an abnormal neck position that is normally harmless. When the injury was reported to the Chiropractic Board of Australia, the board quietly closed the case and allowed the offending chiropractor to continue practice after training with a pediatric chiropractor. Dr. Pappas said the infant was lucky to make a full recovery, given that a few millimeters difference likely would have resulted in paraplegia. The newspaper Sun Herald claims to have evidence that chiropractors have been entering Sydney hospitals, including neonatal intensive care wards and surgical wards, to treat patients without required permission.
Ugh. I mean, really?
Yeah.
This is the thing, is chiropractic is a bunch of nonsense. This stuff, the basic core idea being that by adjusting the spine, you can cure all ailments, and that all ailments come from the spine.
Yeah.
But it's one thing when an adult subjects themselves to a potentially dangerous, stupid treatment.
Yeah.
It's another thing when they put their kid in the line of fire.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a four-month-old. And remember, when you hold a baby, what is the one thing you tell people when they hold a baby?
Keep the head stable.
And
absolutely.
And why do they say that? Because the neck is made out of cardboard, and it hasn't fully formed yet.
So, Nick, you've probably experienced this, too. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that you know, chiropractors aren't, you know, aren't,
they aren't really legitimate doctors.
No, they're not legitimate doctors, and what they're doing, they're not, like, making you feel better. It's not like you go there for a back twinge, they massage your back and your back feels better. That's called a physical therapist.
Yeah, it's like it goes beyond just back cracking. It's a whole bunch of woo woo stuff that is just.
I used to know more about this, but there's like something like if there's something in your spine is out of alignment, they call it luxation or something like that.
Yeah, they make up a lot of words. This is pretty standard. This is about as scientifically plausible as the sort of fake stuff that Scientology does with psychiatry.
Yeah,
where we make up a lot of impressive sounding words and then then convince you that the other people who are providing real medical services are somehow scamming you. And the thing I really dislike about this is that the potential to hurt somebody with chiropractic, this isn't like homeopathy. Right. Homeopathy is stupid. It's a sugar pill.
And it's fun. Making fun of homeopathy right now is a sport.
Yeah, but again, the downside to homeopathy is really that you just took fake medicine. You just took a sugar pill. There is literally nothing in that medication.
Yeah.
So it's not going to have an adverse effect unless you're taking it in spite of, or rather as a replacement for real medicine. Really, what's killing you there is not taking real medicine. In this case, it is a very, very real possibility that somebody cracking your back can break your back. And in this case, we're seeing that happen to a 4-month-old.
I think I can equate it to the Scientology kind of not using any kind of brain drugs like people who need Depakote or any kind of anti-seizure medicine, and they're keeping them from that. I see that as basically pretty much the same thing. You're doing something that could seriously harm you.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who put their kids through this, and it infuriates
me. This is the interaction of pseudoscience with health. And the thing about chiropractic is it's a little bit scarier because a lot of people believe there's legitimate medicine there. For example, there are a number of charitable organizations I work with closely, and some of them, it's for MS, and it's relief for MS and exercise for MS, and chiropractic stuff is one of the things they offer. And I'm trying to get to have that conversation, saying this doesn't really help. Spend money on physical therapists, which is what I think you're hoping to do here. But, people don't realize that it's not medicine.
I think the scary thing about bogus medicine is that a lot of times they build this fake David and Goliath narrative that real big pharma medicine is this evil conglomerate of people in a smoke-filled room stroking a white cat on their lap and finding ways to rob people and give them drugs they don't need, and that there's this wonderful group of people that are just, like they're the wacky group of ragtag bad news bears types that really want to cure the world with, natural medicine. But the truth is, those people have a lobbying arm too. And a lot of people don't seem to realize this, but the woo-woo medicine people managed to get stuff into Obamacare for the purpose of making sure that their stuff is forcibly covered. And what I find just so bizarre about this is these people are a corporation too.
Yeah.
These people have the exact same sort of attitudes too. It's not like this is good guys and bad guys. This is two different companies, and one of which is selling fake medicine, one is selling real medicine.
Well, have you ever gone into a pharmacy and seen how expensive these homeopathic things are?
Yeah, the purpose is clearly economic.
And they're even more expensive than the legitimate drugs.
And
it baffles me.
One of the things that we're kind of skipping over here is, you know what, if you want to believe, if you're an adult and you want to believe that cracking your back is going to cure your flu, I can't stop you, and more to the point, I wouldn't want to stop you. I may laugh at you, but I'm not going to stop you. I think it's a little different when we're talking about a 4-year-old who can't consent.
Yeah. How is this any different than that cult in Oregon that was basically denying medical care to their infant with that giant cyst behind their eye, that giant tumor? People that are dying. Because, again, we're talking about somebody's beliefs not founded in evidence having an adverse effect on health. And said, in this case, basically saying, we are going to put this child in danger because of my bogus belief. This is like forcing your dog to be a vegan. Or it's like, you have your ideology, and that's fine. You're free to have it. You're free to live your life any way you choose. But you don't get to force that ideology on things that are not able to consent, whether it's animals or children.
But it's my kid. It's my choice. Don't tell me how to raise my kid.
Yeah, this may go a little bit too much into my non-atheism-related personal philosophy, but I don't like this sort of thinking. People, they may not be able to consent. They may not, especially in the case of a 4-month-old, they might not have language yet, but it's not a thing It's, you know, it's weird, especially with the abortion thing. They're people, they're people, they're people. But once they're born, suddenly they become property. And it's really weird to me. And it's religion. And it's this weird, you know, it's this weird authority structure that causes them to have thoughts like this. And it just bothers me.
I believe that's called cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance. Yeah, we've all got it. But I don't like this particular flavor. We do have a very quick email. This is an interesting one about money. This is from Philip from Auckland, New Zealand. And he writes, just interested to know if you have thought about the impact that the slow advance to a cashless society will make the words on your physical money. Is this advance hindered by the loss of printed words? Do you feel that we should move faster towards less physical cash instead of fighting to remove the words?
No.
No?
I don't. Well, because it doesn't really matter, because if you change the rules but the mindset remains, the mindset is just going to manifest somewhere else.
I really like this argument, though. If we move to a cashless society, if it's all based on stuff in a computer rather than physical objects, then the money isn't going to say anything and it doesn't matter. I do like that argument. There's a cleverness there, but I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, I look at it in the same way as, like, you know, the question we had in several states, where there are provisions in state constitutions that say that atheists can't be on juries, atheists can't hold public office. Now, this stuff is completely, since 1961, unenforceable.
Yeah.
You can't enforce it. But have you seen anyone try to take these things out of the state constitution? There was a representative in Arkansas in like 2006.
To be fair, you're going off the point. He's specifically talking about money, and you've judoed this into laws in the constitution. Oh. Let's stay with money for now.
Okay, well I guess my general point was the idea that you know what? The money has that stuff on there because there's a lobby of people who push really hard to keep it there.
Yeah.
And put it there in the first place, starting from the 1950s. This isn't something that's been there since beginning of the... But again, if you get rid of the physical money, the mindset that put that on the money in the first place is just going to show up somewhere else.
And it's not like we don't have other avenues in which this manifests itself, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, like, I personally don't care so much about Ngavi Trust on the money. It gives me something fun to do with a dollar bill when I get the... On the rare occasions that I get one. To be honest with you, the stuff that you segued into, that is way more important to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is that I think it was Marco Rubio a couple of years ago gave a speech about how this is a Christian nation, and it was these little harmless things he used as evidence to do more harmful things.
Yeah.
That, yeah, he wants to push for things like prayer in schools. Yes, he wants to push for kind of de facto dominionism. He's kind of cagey about that. But the truth is that he uses those little harmless things as evidence of something that isn't true, which is that this is not a Christian nation, despite what every TV preacher would tell you.
It's a really strange thing, I think. I've got some concerns about a cashless society that still has a currency. You know, it's weird because, well, I'm a computer technologist, and the security concerns there scare the crap out of me.
Are we talking about the Superman 3 exploit?
We're talking about the Superman 3 exploit. We're talking about basically the plot of Sneakers.
Or Office Space.
Off the atheism reservation, that kind of scares me a little bit because I watch a lot of movies and I know how to type into a computer. But
I have a pile of money here, and you can't tell me that pile of money's not there. There's nothing, no button you can push that make that pile disappear.
But it also leads me to think really weird things about what it would look like. Maybe because there's a law that says "In God We Trust" on the money, that in order to transfer these credits from one bank to another or from one account to the other, the packets must have got "In God We Trust" stamped on them. That is entirely possible in the way that these crazy people think.
I wouldn't doubt you that someone would try and put that in the code of whatever Bitcoin you're trying to use now.
Yeah, it's a weird idea, but I could see people doing that. Like, you know, every cryptographic hash that the credit uses has to have "In God We Trust" somewhere in its salt or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised, because, again, the thing that I've really learned, whether it's the war on Christmas, it's every time they put up a resolution to reaffirm that this is "In God We Trust" or any other motto that they want to have, it's the amazing thing, which is that there is a large number of Christians in this country that are so insecure that they need to be reaffirmed all the time, whether it's in the department store or by the government, that, hey, by the way, you're right, you're right, you're right.
Absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about being a teenager and an atheist.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Billy, I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it will explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting! Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communication succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And since I neglected to say so in the last segment, my name is Sam, and with me is Mike and Nick. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
we have an email here that has a lot of emotional weight behind it for a lot of us, and it's a bit long. But you're going to want to listen to this one all the way through. This comes to us from Sarah from the internet, and she writes, I'm 15 and I'm an atheist. My parents are extremely religious Christians who believe that anyone that does anything even a little against their beliefs is going to hell. I studied up on religion in private, collecting information on my parents' religion so that I could understand them better. I studied atheism, agnosticism, and because parts of my family are Irish Catholic, I studied Catholicism. I even read/listened to Charles Spurgeon sermons to understand their point of view. When confronted by my cousin, who is an atheist, we both talked together and helped each other out when our family hated on him. My aunt asked me why I was always taking his side, and she told my parents that she thought I was an atheist. When my parents asked me, I told them that I was, and I got a half-hour-long lecture about sin, witchcraft, and how I was going to hell. I showed them my point of view as respectfully as I possibly could, and I don't bring it up on purpose because I know it drives them nuts. I still go to church with them, though I do not partake in the same stuff they do, but I do respect the leaders and listen to what they have to say. They've told me before that this is just a phase and that I'll grow out of it. When we see atheist or agnostic views on TV or movies, my mom laughs and makes jokes about it and says that they're going to hell. I feel worse and worse about it. Is there a respectful way to tell them that I'm serious and I wish they wouldn't laugh?
Well, I think that the truth is that there's no respectful understanding I think you can come to with them. The minute they start ranting about things that include witchcraft,
yeah.
I think they've pretty much said that the best you can really hope to, and I used this word before, Sam, which is a ceasefire,
yeah.
That you can say, this is something I just don't want to talk to you about. And I think that we say this a lot. There's always questions that we get from listeners who talk about how they're an atheist and they want to know how to tell their parents, but they're living at home, they're not 18, and they're going to be there for a couple more years. And quite honest, I think most people know in their gut how their parents are going to react to this sort of thing. And I'm saying, if you think it's going to be even just the slightest bit negative, just hold on to it for a couple of years. And I think that when she's making those cracks about TVs and movies, she's really just kind of poking at you.
Yeah.
And the thing is that a lot of times they'll just use this opportunity to try to fix you or hit you harder with this stuff.
Well, our usual advice to teenagers in this case is to don't come out until you're 18 if you live in a very religious household. I do have to admire your strength, Sarah, for having the courage to say this to your parents. I don't know that I would have done the same thing in your place. I probably wouldn't have, given the kind of advice that I give. The only thing I could really say is to try and build... They're not going to respect you on their religious beliefs. Everything they believe and everything that they've told you tells them not to respect your religious beliefs and specifically to change your mind. They are, you know, they are empowered by their God to change your mind and potentially to make your life very hard until that happens. So don't try to establish respect on that basis.
Yeah.
This would be what I would do. If you want to establish respect, find another way to establish respect with them. Find another platform. They're very religious, so this could be very difficult. But try to build some respect and back and forth more on the basis that you are their daughter, or that that you do all this good stuff, or that you continue to go with them for church, and you could tell them that how much them constantly wailing on atheists and agnostics is turning them off, or turning you off from what they're saying. And maybe on that basis, you might build something.
But I think that Sarah is coming from a kind of unique perspective, because I don't know of too many teenagers who are outed as atheists by their extended family.
It's a number that's increasing. Actually, outing by her extended family, that's not a story I've heard
before. I don't think she was being outed by her cousin. Her cousin didn't out her. It's just cousin was already out and getting the same wailed on that she's getting now.
Her cousin's mom told her parents, and when her parents confronted her, she said yes.
There's no way you should side with that person in any argument unless you're like them too, which exactly. I.e. damned.
Yeah.
That's the part that I get, is that if you are 15 years old and you think that this can be a reaction, is that in those 3 years, they can make that very difficult for you. And my advice, again, hold on to that for a while and then come out when you have some distance, because those people can make your life very miserable using just parental authority. They'll lay on the cracks when they're watching TV. They'll force you to go to church. They may even force you into uncomfortable conversations with the pastor.
Are you suggesting that she become born again briefly?
No, I don't. No, do that, because then it might even get worse, because then you feel even worse for lying. I'd say, now that you're out, that's a given at this point. It's over. I'd say, basically try to come to a conversation where you just say, I don't want to talk about this. And the more you talk, like you said, the more you do this to me, the more you try to shame me into agreeing with you, the less likely I am. So can you please respect me as your daughter and just agree to not talk about this, and I'll go through whatever this is on my own.
And once you're financially independent, I would say, hey, don't talk smack about me, or else I'm not going to keep contact with you.
Yeah.
And eventually they're going to come around.
Well, you'd hope. I really hope.
We
have the evidence of the Scientologists that suggests that that's not always the case.
But
some people do place their religion higher than their own children.
And that's, I know we've talked about that ad nauseum.
Yeah.
I know a number of Jehovah's Witness kids that go through that where you were just cut off.
Yeah, absolutely,
and
cut off.
It's pretty rare that you get that chance to reconcile.
So, I have to really congratulate you on having the courage. And you also seem to have found a way just to participate in the atheism community, or at least read up on what the atheism community is doing. Especially because you're listening to the podcast and emailing us. That's, thank you very much. I would keep on that if you can. Just keep in touch, and then when you do have more freedom to make your decisions and have these conversations with your parents, you'll have a network of people you can fall back on for help. I know when I became an atheist activist and I started talking a lot about what I was doing, it really helped me to have people in my corner. It really helped me to have people I could talk to and say, this bothers me and this bothers me and this person said something bad, and that's important, so don't let that go.
I think that's absolutely right, because I think that the more that somebody can use shame to make you feel like a freak, and the fact that you think you're the only one that feels this way, that's a method that they've been able to use for a very long time to make people who are on the outs with their family's religion feel bad about themselves. But really, the thing that they're most afraid of is the example of a happy, well-adjusted atheist.
Yeah.
Somebody who can have a happy life, and somebody who can have a fulfilling and pleasurable life without any of the religion that they push on you. Someone that makes it impossible for them to make you feel like a freak.
Yeah.
Because, and again, then they're just being mean. And
interestingly enough, the just a phase argument, I used to staunchly argue against that. It's not just a phase. People are atheists. But when we did this, when we did the research on the, you know, what the religious nuns look like, the statistics have been young people tend, you know, young people in the nuns category will sometimes drift over into religion as they get older. That statistically happens. But the interesting fact here is that now that there's a bigger community and we have more freedom to be atheists and to be godless, that number is sharply decreasing, suggesting that the fad nature of it may not be a fad at all.
Yeah, I think that also being mean to someone to try to bring them back into the fold just isn't going to work. Because, let's say that for whatever reason Sarah comes out of this phase, she's not going to go back to that church after they treated her that way.
Yeah.
I mean, who would? Who wants to go back to the place that when you were going through a phase where you were trying to figure yourself out, because you're like a teenager.
Well, her church isn't treating her bad. It's her parents specifically.
Oh, her parents. But, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the church would have no problem with that.
Yeah, probably not.
If they believe in witchcraft.
They believe in witchcraft. I've met a lot of people who believe in witchcraft, and the church doesn't. I mean, that happens. You never know. The religions here make no sense, and there's so much cognitive dissonance going on. Who knows? I really don't. So, do you want to talk about Sasquatch?
Oh, God, yes.
Sasquatches are real and very freaky.
So, I don't know much about Bigfoot. I've never been that interested in Chewbacca.
Well, here's the thing. They don't know anything about Bigfoot either.
Clearly. Well, I mean, the Bigfoot lore. It's never been the type of cryptozoology I pay attention to. But the Sasquatch Genome Project, a group of cryptozoologists led by veterinarian Dr. Milba Ketchum, held a press conference this past week. Their big announcement? Brand new video footage from Kentucky that claims to prove the existence of Bigfoot. One grainy video, they claim, is of a sleeping female Sasquatch taken in 2005. They claim that DNA evidence and more video footage will be revealed in an upcoming documentary. First things first. Isn't Dr. Ketchum a character from Pokemon?
I don't know.
I
Melba think Ketchum is such
Melba
a great
Ketchum,
name.
Yeah, this sounds...
Wait, is she made of toast or something?
I have no idea, but this sounds fake all the way through. This has... You've got funny names. It's like if I wanted to create a character that was a piranha hunter, I'd name myself like Dirk Big Tooth or Dirk Fish Tooth or...
Well, the name isn't my big red flag on this story.
No, it's not, but why would you throw it away so blithely in when you're trying to drum up interest in your upcoming documentary?
Yeah, they did one big mistake with this footage that they showed. One of them is a close-up of the Sasquatch's face.
Really?
And yeah, it's pretty bad, and it looks a bit like, you see the Star Wars holiday special where it's like Christmas at Chewie's house?
Oh yeah.
And there's obviously they don't have the same budget for
it's
the
life day, man.
It's life day, but yeah, the idea that there's a holiday special and Chewie's family's there, and they obviously don't have the movie budget and industrial light and magic to make more Wookiee costumes.
Yeah.
So they're going off the TV budget to make it. That's what this costume looked like. It looked like a mid to poor range convention costume for a Wookiee. Where I'm like, I don't know.
The video you showed me had a clip of the sleeping guy, and we watched this at the same time.
It looked like Rolf the dog from Muppet Show.
It looked like cheap, you know, fabric store fur.
It looked like a shag rug from a 1972 Ford Econoline conversion van.
You know what? You are exactly right. That's what it looks like. And it looks like it hasn't been treated well by a dog.
It's been sitting in a van for 42
close to
years.
It, can you at least get a shot of its, you know, rather than just its back moving up and down?
Yeah, and it was like this really obvious, like somebody was under it like pushing it up and down or hyperventilating under the covers or something like that.
It's got lungs the size of my mattress.
Like, I don't want to say anything because, you know, radio, but that didn't look like sleeping.
That looked like a side effect of Bigfoot's sedentary lifestyle.
I love this stuff. I think these stories are hilarious.
But my favorite part of the footage was they showed the press conference, and then they showed the people who attended the press conference. And this is one of the few times where there's more people on the panel than there are in the audience watching.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Who had to draw straws to get sent to the Bigfoot one? You know, I'm like, really? I want to be a journalist, and this is where you send me?
I think there were just as many people on the camera crew filming it as were actually, like...
I think most of that crowd was camera crew. A lot of them were holding boom mics and microphone and recording equipment.
It's like, I'm just sitting there going, man, I'm going to say I'm a journalist here. And I'm like, I could be talking about Syria right now. Yeah. I could be talking about the shutdown. I could be talking about a local interest store. I could be talking about anything except this nonsense Bigfoot garbage. Why am I here?
I could be covering a flower show. I could be covering the JCs. I could be... Yeah, I know.
Why am I here? It's like the battery I'm using right now is worth more than this.
On the other hand, I would like to have gone to that.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I have footage of unicorns robbing a bank. You want to see that?
Unicorns robbing a bank.
Yeah, you know, I've got that... It's footage, man. It's proof. It's real. This is not the
venue for your brony stuff, man.
Hey, come on, man. It's real.
But they come.
I have proof. It's video footage. It's proof.
Bigfoot Genome Project. Have they even found a shred of physical evidence?
Is it the Bigfoot Genome Project or is it the Sasquatch?
The Sasquatch. Okay, sorry. I didn't use the appropriate scientific term.
Because if it was the Bigfoot Genome Project, they'd be attempting to sequence the gene of a monster truck, which I think would actually be kind of funny.
At least we have evidence that monster trucks exist.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But at the same time, Sasquatch.
I think
is Bigfoot the name of a proper name of a Sasquatch? Is it Bigfoot the Sasquatch?
Yeah, it's Christopher R. Bigfoot.
I think Bigfoot with an umlaut,
yeah,
or an e at the end.
Yeah, it's originally from Germany.
I think it's safe to assume that we are not trying to placate the Sasquatch truthers out there.
No, and honestly, I would like to have a conversation with somebody who you know follows this stuff and has evidence and is, I guess, what you would call a believer. But I've never managed it. It's like.
They're elusive.
It's not like we're talking about, you know, Loch Ness Monster, which are people who believe in or whatever.
That's a tourism thing.
It's a tourism thing. But it seems like people talk about Bigfoot in people cover Bigfoot in the exact same way people would cover NORAD tracking Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. I mean, it seems like people they're playing it straight. But I don't think in the news anybody really believes this.
Oh,
and
no.
Most of the people I talk to, nobody believes this. I have not met. I've met people who believe that dinosaurs existed concurrently with people. I've met people who think that Chupacabra is real. I've met people who think that, half the population of the human race is reptoids from the eighth dimension. But I've never met anybody who seems to honestly believe in Bigfoot.
I have.
You have?
I have.
Tell me about this endangered species.
Well, this was a friendship. Well, it was really more of an acquaintanceship that ended over Facebook, and it went... this conversation really traveled.
Yeah.
It started as a conversation about religion, but everywhere we went, it always came back to Bigfoot. It's like this Bigfoot is this big, hairy gravity well of conversation that kept pulling me back. This guy believed, I think at one point he used the argument that this the divinity of Jesus was proven through the testimony of this guy who'd been abducted by aliens and the aliens vouched for Bigfoot.
That's a Bill Hicks sketch.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so the aliens are just Presbyterians. It just proves that they believe. The fact that they've got a flying saucer doesn't make it true. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start debunking that. But he kept coming back to Bigfoot. And with Bigfoot, he wanted me to go on some Bigfoot hunt with him and his friends. And I said, okay. If I'm going to lower myself to do this, you have to give me two things. Two things to make me not feel stupid. And thing the first was that you had to have a primatologist or anthropologist, like a reputable person, come along. So in the event that we actually found this, I'm not going to be that guy on the news. Yeah, I saw this big hairy man out in the woods. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be the target of derision for the rest of my life. I want somebody who actually is qualified to study this thing.
You turned down a Bigfoot hunt.
I turned down an opportunity to hang out with people I vaguely knew in the woods and feel like a moron and then come back probably with poison oak.
You turned down a Bigfoot hunt.
I turned down a bunch of nonsense from a guy who was talking about flying saucers.
Admit that you turned down a Bigfoot hunt.
Hey, you could...
Oh, the second thing that I said is he had to find some evidence to prove that we're actually... Like, if I'm going to look for the Green River Killer...
Yeah.
I'm going to start by saying a body was found in this area, and that's the area we're going to search. Give me a piece of physical evidence that shows that we're even looking in the right woods.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He said that was unreasonable.
You could cover yourself in a shag carpet, separate yourself from the Bigfoot group, and then, you know, masquerade as Bigfoot and scare them.
So the Scooby-Doo method? Is that Scooby-Doo. What you're...
Exactly!
I just can't believe you turned out... I guess maybe I just have a bigger capacity for embarrassment, but the idea to go... hunt Bigfoot and fail honestly sounds kind of intriguing. I want to see how these guys work. Like, I've always wanted to be I would like to be the skeptic that goes with you know, the haunted house people. I know that's starting to lose popularity, but I wanted to be the skeptic because, one, I come with my own equipment. I already have most of the equipment that they use. That's not what it's for. That's not what I use it for, but I've got the equipment. And two, I want to be that guy, and I've always wanted to be Egon. I mean, who doesn't want to be Egon? What? Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. I love Ghostbusters.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back, we're going to talk about crazy Russian politics and hang out in Starbucks.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. And we received some terrible news in the break. Nick has not seen Ghostbusters.
Don't hurt me! Please don't hurt me!
I don't see how anyone could have avoided seeing that movie.
Yeah, it's one of the best movies ever.
I was born in 1988. That's how I avoided it.
Have you seen Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
It was made in 1939.
Have you seen Casablanca?
Don't hurt me. Yes, but only...
Have you seen Citizen Kane?
No, I haven't seen Citizen Kane.
Oh, okay. I'm going to smack you.
I saw Casablanca fairly recently.
Oh, man. Yeah, those things were made a lot. I mean, you were born like 3 years after Ghostbusters came out.
Yeah, I've seen Star Wars, and the first one was made before I was born.
Me too.
I mean, yeah.
How could you avoid seeing Ghostbusters?
I am known in my circle of friends as being that one guy who hasn't seen all the movies that
everyone
else has
seen. That's not a good thing to be.
I'm sorry.
I've never seen Titanic, and I guess that doesn't bother me at all. Never mind.
There's movies I think you can avoid not seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of movies, but Ghostbusters is up there with like Back to the Future and like Breakfast Club as something you just assume that everyone has seen.
Everyone near our age, like I don't expect an 80-year-old person to see it, and I don't expect a 6-year-old to have seen it. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, I've seen a ridiculous number of movies, but I lived in a household where my dad would stand for the HBO theme as if it were his national anthem. We were an early adopter of cable because he loves movies. I think he's seen every movie. And when that da-na-na-na-na, you know, the John Tesh-ish thing would come up.
Did he do that?
Yeah, no, but that's what it sounds like.
Oh, I wish he did.
Yeah, you know, with the suburb miniature suburbs and stuff like that. You've seen it. He would stand.
Oh.
Yeah. Not all the time, but occasionally. And speaking of weird things that happen, this one, I love this one. There is no part of this story which is not insane. A Russian man faces prison time for nun porn.
Nun porn.
A Siberian man faces prison time for posting a 40-second video of masturbation featuring a nun to a popular social media site. The suspect, Andrei Korbalev, told the website RIA Novosti that homegrown religious fundamentalists on the Tyumen City Parental Committee complained as a way to punish him for his involvement with the League of Militant Atheists. The group, also known as the League of Belligerent Atheists, was formed in the 1920s by the Communist Party to promote non-belief.
Isn't the RIA Novosti the name of the ship from Alien?
I think so. There's nothing in... All right, there's this guy who's standing up for his right to post non-porn, who's a member of an atheist group that began with the Communist Party being, persecuted by crazy people who are backing Putin in Russia when things are getting... There is no one in this story who is not insane.
How is this group still around?
Communist Party is still in going on in Russia. They still have Pravda.
Oh, that's right.
It's like a quarterly now, but...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It's mostly pictures. Now,
yeah,
celebrity news.
Yeah. You know what would be hilarious? Or mostly advertising.
Oh,
if it was the Moscow version of the Daily Shopper or something like
it's,
that.
It's ironic. Now it's mostly a Milton Friedman thing.
I think it would basically be the hangout of the hipster journalists of Russia.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Russia's getting weird. I mean, there's the whole thing with the Olympics and the recent laws passed about. Talking about homosexuality is illegal.
If you say a gay person is a good neighbor, I think you can get locked up. I mean, that's how insane it's getting.
Yeah.
They call it, like, pro-gay propaganda. It's insane.
We're complaining about the law is pro-gay.
Yeah, it's funny because you can't actually argue and change the law because that would involve arguing about why the law should be changed, and I guess that would be pro-gay propaganda.
You pointed that out, and I was like, wow, okay, yeah, catch 22. This is Russia.
You have a guy who's a former, KGB leader who's teaming up with the church, and the church is giving him a block of votes, and in exchange, he's giving the church every horrible social law they could possibly ask for. So blasphemy laws.
So in a strange turnabout, in the first segment, when you were talking about people viewing the medical industry as the Bond villain who pets the white cat and how they're not like that, I think Putin is that guy.
Putin is totally that guy. I bet you that he has a white cat that he does just for that moment, and he has a chair that he can slowly rotate around in.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah.
Mr. Gay community. How does that work?
I don't know. Mr. Elton John.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. And it's like, he's just a straight-out supervillain.
Really
of course,
is.
If we said anything like this and it was aired on Russian radio, then yeah, of course. First Amendment is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of countries we'd be dead now.
Illegal here, at least we'd be in a United States prison.
I do have a dream of Ask an Atheist live from Saudi Arabia. I would really...
I know the word live does not apply
there. I would really like that because it wouldn't... Yeah, we wouldn't be live very long.
It'd sever your head in 7 minutes.
I didn't know Ask an Atheist was a snuff show.
one day I'd like to be able to pull that off. I think it'd be fun. So we have another email. This comes to us from Dave from Wilmington, Delaware, and he writes, I was in Starbucks this past Sunday, and a young girl of about 5 or 6 years old asked me which church I was going to. I told her I wasn't going to church, and she asked me, so you don't love God? As an atheist, how should I respond to a child when they ask me about my belief? So, really quickly, my shorthand for this, which I had to use a lot, because I've had a lot of Mormon friends with kids, so which means I had a lot of Mormon friends with kids. If they're old enough to ask me about God, they're old enough to hear the answer. They're old enough to hear the truth.
To hear the truth about L. Ron Hubbard.
To hear
and
the
how
truth
he brought
L.
us
Hubbard.
This wonderful message.
Yeah, 76 planets around this sector of the galaxy, roughly 75 bazillion years ago.
Have you heard about Xenu, young child?
You love Zeus?
Yeah.
I think that you're dealing with a child. I'm not going to lie to a child. Because you know what? If I lie to a child, all I'm doing is making my life hard. Because that child is going to grow up to be a grown-up. And that grown-up is going to believe that they've never met an atheist.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy into the notion, or at least help chip into the notion, that there's something inherently harmful about us being non-believers, or that us telling a child that unbelievers makes us like, not like we're showing a kid a rated R movie or something.
Yeah.
And if the kid comes back at you and says, like, oh, you're an atheist, that means why don't you just do something gooder? Which actually, spoken in context, actually happened to me when I was 15 years old and I told a little kid I was an atheist.
Why don't you do something gooder?
Yes.
Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Why don't you do something gooder, Nick? I love that. I'm gooder. Using that.
Well, I basically just said, what, you don't think I'm a good person? That's not very nice. I'm hurt by that.
Yeah.
And kids understand that. When they respond to something negative, when you say, you know, that kind of hurts me when you say that.
I don't know. I have this weird feeling that sort of scenario playing out usually plays out with a parent standing right there, and they're basically using the child as a human.
Yeah, they're almost always prompted for
just
this.
A human argument shield, like, I'm going to do this because I want to put you at this huge disadvantage, and anything you say in defense of your own position it's like I'm handing the kid porn. That's how they're going to act. I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with me believing or not believing anything. It's like saying, what if they had approached a rabbi, mm-hmm. and they said, do you believe in Jesus? Are they supposed to lie?
Yeah.
No.
Well, and what you mentioned with the parents standing right next to the kids, there are a lot of parents who will use their children as pawns to try and do this. I've seen this with several Jehovah's Witnesses taking their kids along.
We've all
them.
Gotten the door knocker folks who bring their kids along expecting us to be nicer because they're there. Like, what, I'm not going to talk about the fact that I do a radio show about atheism every week because your kid is in the room?
Yeah.
Really?
You just start conversations about religion in front of your kid and not expect it to ever get hostile?
Yeah, and I'm not going to react when I feel insulted by you telling me insulting things because your kid is in the room?
My general attitude is always this, is that I let the other person choose the tone of the discussion.
Yeah.
That if they're going to get angry at me, I might get angry back. They get to choose how loud it becomes. But if they straight out insult me, even if they try to do so with this happy smile, like, oh, I didn't know it bothered you to hear that you're this horrible, joyless person who's also a nihilist and maybe eats other people.
Yeah.
You know,
the Ray Comfort.
The Ray Comfort. That I can say a terrible thing to your face, but not say it in a mean voice that suddenly makes it less mean?
Yeah.
No.
It's weird. I'm saying that a lot today. There's a lot of weird things going on in the world. I just give as good as you get, but I hate it when people use their children as shields. And in this case, in Starbucks, I guarantee you that this kid was prompted by her parents. This probably wasn't something that she thought of herself. They might not have explicitly told her to do this, but she was probably being prepped to do exactly this. I mean, we've all seen Jesus Camp.
Yeah, there actually are Christian groups that do this, where they train their kids to basically go out and bother other kids about Jesus.
To be a God warrior?
Yeah, at school. Yeah. They tell them to go bother. You think that kid's a Hindu? You think that kid's Buddhist? You think that kid's Jewish? You think that kid's Muslim? Go hassle them for Jesus.
Yeah, cover them in Chick Tracks.
Yeah, I just...
How do you think I became a fan of Chick Tracks?
Oh, the funny thing with Chick Tracks, and it wasn't until I saw Jesus Camp, the movie, that I saw somebody bring out a Jesus tract or Chick Track that wasn't ironic.
Hmm.
Most of the time I've ever seen it, it's either at a bus stop, it's been abandoned there, or it's somebody who is, holding on to them or collecting them, like you, Sam, or like my friend Tim, who have a shoebox full of these things because they think they're funny.
Yeah, they are pretty funny. I mean, I've seen a few of yours, Sam, and it's pretty laughable.
It's a pretty another while I'm talking about outlandish ideas I have. Instead of business cards, I've always thought about ordering, because if you order like a gross of Chick Tracks, if you order like a ridiculous number, more than a gross, they will do custom printing on the back for your organization. So I was thinking about ordering a bunch of Chick Tracks and having like Ask an Atheist business card information put on the back.
That
and
would using be those, hilarious.
Yeah, that can't. I mean, we're having trouble raising money to keep the lights on, so I can't do that. But one of these days, I'd love to do that just to see if the organization does it.
I bet just a computer that.
And
does
they
it.
Will they will do back issues that they don't publish currently. So I could get it on Dark Dungeons, which Ooh. Is what I would.
The Dungeons and Dragons one?
Yes, the Dungeons and Dragons
one. It's one of the best ones.
But the thing is, the reason I became such a fan of propaganda, and the reason I became such a fan of Chick Track specifically, is because people kept giving them to me because I reacted strangely when they asked me if I was a Christian. And so they'd say, well, read this and it'll tell you the truth. And it was this outlandish garbage that was hilarious. And that's how I became a fan.
I have to wonder if anyone's ever been converted by one of these Chick Tracks. And if you haven't read them,
ask them, they believe they have.
I really have a hard time thinking the Chick Tract was what did it. I really do, because these things are so cartoonish. It's almost like we wrote it to make fun of somebody.
Yeah.
But again, that's what they call Poe's Law, the idea that religious fundamentalism is impossible to lampoon because the real thing is so ridiculous that you can't make it over the top.
Yeah, it... Oh, man.
And those things are crazy, though. What was the one that you have, like, The Last Generation?
The Last Generation, that's one of my favorite ones,
Where too. The idea that the government is now run by these New Age healers who dress like the Noid from the old Domino's Pizza commercials?
It's a cross between Running Man and Left Behind.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. It's the best comic. It has the most action shots of any of these things. Because usually, so, it's like Garfield, where everyone's at medium pose, and they're standing in front of a counter. But this one is great, because there's all these crazy action shots with helicopters and people punching down doors.
Yeah.
Sam, can you find this after the show? I want to read it. This sounds awesome!
Yeah, if I can find my Chick Tracks, I will absolutely show you. Yeah, it's I love, the best part of that is the two things. One, the medical man. Who looks like the Phantom, and the kid.
The kid is great. I wish I could draw a scary child like this. This is like something out of The Omen.
So much love was poured into depicting this character. So, and not love of Jesus, love of showing this kid, as this godless kid, as an evil knob. It was just like, yeah, he's holding up pictures of kittens and puppies saying that his teacher told him it was okay to murder these things. It's one of the most outlandish things that you can get in a religious tract in 15 pages.
It's great, because then you take a step back and go, this is how some people see us.
Yeah.
But it's okay to be mean to the godless, because we are really heartless, evil, evil, terrible people. We need to be gooder.
Yeah, so very quickly, we do have an email talking about last week's show. This is Aaron from Temple, Texas. After listening to your segment on Teresa McBain, I feel the need to express a slightly differing opinion. This is a conversation that needs to be had, and I appreciate the cast of Ask an Atheist taking the time to address it. I think the issue here is not one of education, but of honesty. I have a GED with some college and work in a job that does not require a college degree. If I had claimed a degree that I did not earn when I applied for that job, my company would fire me immediately, even though I am completely qualified to have the job. If someone is willing to lie on a document in order to get a job, then the people they work for will never be completely sure that they can be trusted. I don't feel that it damages the reputation of our movement that one of our own was fired for lying on a resume. I think it would have caused damage if she hadn't been fired. Is it a loss to the movement? Sure, but I think the responsibility for that falls on Teresa. She was the one who made the mistake. That being said, I don't think she should be shunned or made a pariah. We acknowledge our mistakes and then we move on. I do hope she is able to recover from this and find a way to apply her considerable talents to the cause. So, just to clarify what I was saying before, I know it was mostly, everybody's saying it's mostly about the honesty. There's been no question about that. My argument was, if the advanced degree was part of it at all in any way, you know, even in the parts per million level, it was going to be a big problem for me for the reasons I outlaid. And like I said, this played into something that I've been facing as an atheist activist without much in the way of education and a formal education, I should say. But I understand where you're coming from. I don't think it would have damaged the cause if she hadn't been fired. I think, more specifically, it would have damaged the cause if nothing had been done.
Yeah.
If they would have tried to sweep it under the rug, then it would be...
Yeah.
I want to be clear that that's not what we're doing. We're not saying we should sweep this under the rug, or we can't fire her because it makes us all look bad, so it's we can't punish her at all because it makes the group look bad, it makes our movement look bad. No, that's not it at all. We think we have said there should be some kind of punishment.
There should be some sort of punishment.
But my main point is it wasn't that the job required a degree to get... Because the degree wasn't why they hired her. They hired her for her abilities, for her history, and for her story.
Yeah.
That's why she was hired. And she's qualified for it, degree or not.
Yeah.
And I think it was a bad idea to fire her. I mean, it's done now.
It's done.
So there's no undoing it. Our thing, we're never playing the we're not playing the usual Catholic Church thing where they're like, oh, well, we'll just move them to a different thing and try to brush it under the rug. We're not doing that at all. We think it's important to bring this
stuff up. There's a specific reason why I opened up our discussion with it last week with the words, she lied.
Yeah.
I wanted to face it head on.
Yeah, I think the thing that hurts the movement isn't the fact that, you know, she... Isn't the fact that, you know, we look bad? The thing that hurts the movement is that we don't have her in this job doing good.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to take some time and thank everybody who's contacted me via the Ask an Atheist page or personally or on my Facebook in the last week, giving me some words of encouragement and telling me some of their own stories. I'm thinking I might actually do something with, you know, with this story sometime in the future, with the education story. But I want to thank everybody. You guys are fantastic, and I feel really encouraged by what you guys have had to say. I mean, you know, you went to like film school and stuff like that. You're educated. But
I have an associate's degree. I don't have a major college degree.
Right. And so, you know, it's really... And you're about to go back to school.
Yeah, but for something completely different.
But it was really, really gratifying to hear. So next week we have... Because we're doing the Streamathon, we're not going to be live. We're doing something very special. I think you're going to enjoy it. We're doing an interview with Ray Comfort.
Bleh.
Yeah, we are breaking our one rule, which is atheists on the show only, just because how much Ray Comfort had to do with the creation of Ask an Atheist and the way Ask an Atheist is today. We're still working with it, but next week you will hear Ray Comfort. You'll hear me talking to Ray Comfort. I'm not going to say it's a debate. I really just wanted to get under the guy's skin, but... you know, we'll see how it turns out. This is Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv or leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. My name is Sam. With me today was Nick and Mike. Post show today is at Doyle's at 5 p.m. in about an hour. We'll see you then. Talk to you next week.